All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and picking up here in verse number 11. Now, one thing we're seeing is in this chapter, application of wisdom in work. We've seen some of this common sense that we need to be applying in our work daily. But also, we're going to see application of wisdom and the fact that wisdom is better than foolishness in your words here coming up soon. And I think that's very, very important here in daily life. I love how Ecclesiastes is just showing you how to daily live your life in a wise way. And we know that the book of Colossians tells you that all the wisdom is hidden in Jesus Christ. So the world has wisdom, and it's got a lot of wisdom, but it's not wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what messes them up so bad, because they're like, well, I'm wise. Yeah, but you're not wise toward God. If you're not wise toward God, what good is it? So you get here, verse number 11, it says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. Well, you know, somebody, if whatever your job is, whether it's serpent enchantment or whatever you're supposed to do, you need to do your job anyhow. You know, there's so many people that, well, I don't like what I'm doing. Well, go get another job then. You know, that's the way I feel about it. But here's a babbler is no better. Because it's not controlled. Right. If somebody's going to enchant the serpent so the serpent will not bite, that, you know, the tongue hit right here is being compared to a serpent. That tells you how bad the tongue is. You know what that Bible tells you over in the book of James? It said no man can tame the tongue. Right. Now, you know what that means? If man can't tame it, you got to have God to tame it. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can tame the tongue. Okay, so a babbler is no better than somebody who's supposed to be enchanting or making sure that serpent doesn't bite. So somebody who's babbling, instead of doing what they're supposed to do to get it to keep the tongue that's as dangerous as a serpent from biting you, they don't control it. So you know what they do? They just do a whole bunch of damage, just like a serpent that's without enchantments biting somebody. But here's an issue about that enchantment here. If you will, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. And sometimes you gotta understand where I'm going here with this thing. I like to show y'all some things that maybe your reference verses will lead you. If you'll follow these references on things, they'll lead you in areas that a lot of people really don't delve into. But all it is just cross-referencing in your Bible. And I think that's a lot of fun myself, but I want to see what all the Bible has to say about a subject. So you think to yourself, man, I got this tongue and I can use it for good or I can use it for evil. Because, you know, the tongue, like a serpent's tongue, is split. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. All right? So I'm thinking in my mind, all right, well, the Bible tells me I can't tame my tongue. I need the Lord to tame my tongue. But the only trouble is you read verses like this right here and you say, people should tame their tongue, man. But then you read this verse right here and it says, look at Psalm 58, verse number 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They grow astray as soon as they be born. That means they're born sinners. Everybody's born a sinner. Well, you know, you wouldn't believe what all I've done. This, yeah, everybody's born in sin. Watch what they do. Here's the tongue. It says, as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, here's the tongue of a wicked person. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. What? That serpent is a type of the tongue, a picture of the tongue. The tongue's so bad, it's just like a serpent. Okay? They are like the deaf adder that, watch this, stoppeth her ear. You know what's wrong with some people? Their tongue is bad because they've stopped their ear. That serpent can't be. There's some serpents that have the ability to not be tamed or not be enchanted, not be charmed. Because they stop their ear. You know why some people are babble along and do so much damage? Because they won't listen. Here's somebody trying to teach them, and they won't even listen. Here's the Word of God trying to teach them, and they won't listen to what the Word of God... You know why there's so many babblers in the world today? Because they will not listen. They you're going to find out from a later verse here in just a little bit back in Ecclesiastes, you can't tell them anything. They don't want to learn nothing. So guess what? Their tongue's not going to be tamed because they're not putting good information in. But yet, that's why I believe this. It's not in the Bible, but I believe it's biblical. You've got two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to do double the listening than you do speaking. Okay, that's why a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. That's why it's called the foolishness of preaching. Because I'm the most foolish person in this room as far as speaking is concerned. But the only reason it's worth listening to is because as long as you'll stick with the text, a man saying something that's worth listening to. But you got somebody just babbles on and on and on and on, and then they won't listen. All it is a bunch of garbage. So you know what's going on today? You got a world now that's got YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, all these things with a whole bunch of babbling going on, and people aren't listening to anything that needs to be said. So they got a whole bunch of damage, a whole bunch of poison coming out of their mouth. What they say is just babbling stuff. That's what the world's full of.
That's right.
Some people stop their ears. Okay, wicked people, they stop their ears. Watch what else. Look over here in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. A few books to the right of Ecclesiastes. Jeremiah chapter 8. Here's another thing about serpents and tongues that are compared to serpents. Alright, I'll give you some context here while you're turning there. Jeremiah 8, look at verse number 15 for context. We looked for peace, but none came, no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Uh-oh, you see that word trouble. A lot of times you look, you're going to be something going on in tribulation. It said the snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. You know what you have right there in verse 17? The Lord sending people who are serpents, and they have tongues that won't be controlled. Why? Because that's what the people wanted. Do you know that God says over in Jeremiah, he said his people love to have it so, as far as deception and stuff like that, and these deceivers and all these people. And the Lord said over there in one of them verses I looked at earlier, he said, my people love to have it so. That's a bad thing. Why is he sending them? Because that's what they wanted. You know what that Bible says? The Lord over in 2 Thessalonians shall send strong delusion. Why? Because it's what people want. Do you know that people oftentimes want lies because they don't want the truth, because the truth will make them face the facts and they don't want to face facts. Oftentimes when people think they're right on the issue and you show them what the truth is, they say, oh man, if I do that, you know, I have to change my mind. Well, that's what's good for us. But the world does not want truth. And it's that truth is offensive to those who hate the truth. So what's happening is, yeah, you know, the tongue should be controlled, but oftentimes people don't want any control of it. Why? Because a lot of times some people are so used to gossip and so used to running other people down, so used to backbiting. If you tell them to control their tongue and stop, they wouldn't have anything to talk about because that's all they know to do. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? I'm just telling you this. Y'all are older than me, and you probably learned this too, but it's kind of disheartening. Why do people not want to talk people up and build people up and be an encouragement? Do you know it's actually, to me, it's more work to run folks down, talk bad about folks. And why can't people want to see people do well? Jealous. Well, I'm jealousy, envy, you know, all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you this right here. I believe that saying, I like sayings, but this saying has stuck with me. Two things are wear you out, running upstairs and running down people. And I think a lot of people are so wore out because they're talking bad about this one, talking bad about that. And I tell you something, that stuff will wear you out. Now, you know who were some people who were wore out instead of being built up with joy? Because instead of being built up with joy, well, the Lord, all they did was just follow the Lord around. And I tell you, they were sad people to be around. How do I know? Because here's the Lord doing miracles, and all they could do was run the Lord down. You know what the Lord called those people? Watch. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I want to read this to you. Matthew 23, listen to this. Listen to this, what he called people who had no control over their tongue. He said in Matthew 23:13, watch this, in 13, verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He calls over here, let's see, I think it's Matthew 23, maybe it's 33. He calls them hypocrites like 13 times over. Verse number 3, yeah, he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers," snakes, "how can you escape the damnation of hell?" You know why a lot of people can't control their tongue? Lost. Now, I'm not doing that so where if you can't control your tongue, you're lost. I'm not saying that. But most of the world, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is the only way we can control our tongue anyway. One thing is people say, "Wonder why so-and-so's always saying that, and so-and-so's always doing this, and so-and-so's talking about this, and all that." I tell you what, it's because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, I know y'all as well as me, you got y'all saved and you got the Lord in you. Y'all may say something you know wasn't right to say, but after you've said it, you start getting that conviction. You'll go, "Man, why did I say it? I've done it and I know you've done it too. So I wish I hadn't have said that." Well, what that is, that's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you convicting you.
That's right.
Well, look, most of the world doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, so there's no conviction there. So when they run somebody down, they don't have a conviction there because they don't know the Lord. Well, I tell you what it is. It's a blessing that we don't have to be like that babbler who's no better than somebody who's not controlling the serpent. If you're supposed to be enchanting the serpent or certain serpent charmer, well, do your job then. You know what? It's part of our job to use the Bible and say, "Okay, this is what the Bible says. I need to speak this way." And then it's going to tell us here in just a little bit how to speak. Now watch this. Verse number 12, Ecclesiastes 10. It says over here in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." So you got the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Now, the Bible says over there, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 12:42, Jesus Christ said, "A wiser than Solomon is here." You remember reading that? All right, there's a wise man, never been any wise. But you know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's you another reference before I take you over to some of these other verses here. I'm going to take you to, I'm going to give you Luke 4:22. And then we'll visit a few together. The Bible says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" Well, why are you going to question if he's speaking gracious words? Why do you got to start going, "Is not this Joseph's son?" That's how the human mind does. They always try to question a whole bunch of stuff. When sometimes, look, there are some things, it's good to analyze situations and stuff like that. But when it comes to the Lord, don't question the Lord why he does things. The Lord always does what's right. That's one thing I like, but the more I read the Bible, I know things are going to come across my path in life I just do not understand. I'm so thankful that the Lord knows better than I do, and the Lord knows what's best. Now, I know if something comes across, hey, it come across God's desk anyway, and God okay the thing, okay, I'm just down here, I'm trusting him. The old saying is, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And my happiness is based on him and his holiness and knowing that he knows best. And I've got His Word to prove that. Now, this thing about these gracious words, I want to show you a couple things about grace. Let me show you one verse over in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Here's your moral concept that'll go throughout all time. Hebrews 13. In verse number 9, it says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not been, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." The meat of the word is what people should be interested in. It's good to be established with grace. And I'm going to show you what here in just a minute what grace has to do with. The Bible tells you over in Colossians that our speech should be with grace, seasoned with salt. Okay, well, what is grace? Let's look at this thing about grace, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll tell you about this thing. So what happens is people get this, they think it's this deep thing, all this stuff. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. If it's not to do with the Bible, I'm probably just going to tell you I don't really want to have nothing to do with it, because I can't prove any of these other things. If you can't prove it with facts, the best thing to do is stay away from it. We're living in a time now where people have got access to all kinds of this information. And what happens is the devil doesn't care what you get interested in, as long as it's not the Bible. You know what I've learned? There's so much deep stuff in that Bible. If you'll stick with that Bible, man, people will think you crazy anyway. I don't need anything else to add to the repertoire. There's, by the time you believe that one of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come rapture the body of Christ out one of these days, by the time you believe that there was fallen sons of God came into the daughters of men over in Genesis chapter 6, and you know that that's true and some of this stuff, why do I need anything else I can't prove to add to some of this stuff? That's why if you can't prove it with facts, just best thing to do, just leave it alone. Say, look, you know, that's interesting, but I need to be established with grace. All right, now, what's this deal about grace here? Ephesians chapter number, did I say 5? I meant to say 4 if I said 5. Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 29. And turn too far here. Ephesians 4, verse number 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication," see, we're still in the context of the tongue, just like Ecclesiastes, "proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So you know what? If you're going to have gracious speech, it's sound doctrine. That you know, a lot of people, well, gracious speech. I bet Jesus just said, "Hey, let me get over here and talk." No, he didn't. He didn't talk like that. Jesus was a man's man.
That's right.
But at the same time, his words, when you go back over there and look at Luke 4 and stuff, he's actually preaching out of the book, and he's rightly dividing what Isaiah said out of that book. His gracious words were gracious in the fact he was telling them the truth of the Word of God, despite the fact that they didn't like him for it. Gracious words is this: you're going to be truthful with people whether it's going to hurt you or not. You know, even David talks about that he was going to be truthful whether it was even to his own hurt. I believe that people who love you will tell you the truth in a matter. Now whenever it's gracious, that don't mean, see, the gracious is how you put it across too. The Lord Jesus Christ told them because he loved them. That was his motive. Because it can't be corrupt communication. It's got to be the right way. So when you tell somebody something, it needs to be out of love. You don't say, "Well, you're wrong about that." Hold on, just calm down. But when you say it, this is how you put it on God. And you don't have to take the brunt of the storm. Just say, "You know that I believe the Bible, and the Bible teaches this." And that way they can take it up between them and God. It's not that these things are personal. That's like some of the things that I believe the Bible teaches. I believe I'm right on a subject here. So what I do is I say, look, I'm a Bible believer. And I believe the Bible teaches this. Now, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But I'm just telling you where I stand according to the Word of God and what I believe about it. That's like eternal security. I've got several friends that think I am crazy because I believe in eternal security. Now, they love me. They've known me since I was a child. But I tell them right quick, like, this is what the Bible teaches, that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But that's what the Bible said. But at the same time, I don't have to say, I tell you what, you just know, you believe it right there. I'll never come to your church and all that. I'm not going to tell them that stuff. You have to approach things the way the Bible says. That's why it said over there in Colossians, let your speech always with grace seasoned with salt. Now, some people say, that salty salt gets in the wound. No. Look, if I like mashed potatoes, pretty good. But salt helps it taste a little bit better. Put a little salt on. Whenever you give a Bible verse, you don't have to just blend, just that, blam, blam, that's just what it says. No, this is what I believe about the Bible. And have a better way to approach about it. You don't have to just be mean to people.
Yeah, that's right.
So the wisdom will say, hey, this is what I say. This is what I believe the Bible says. It's rightly divided right here. Here it is. Now look, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. If you want to believe, to keep on believing the way you want to, you got free will. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you where I stand. That's very important, because I tell you why. Because we're not supposed to force our beliefs on anybody. I just don't believe in that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But some people will literally get mad at you if you don't come to their way of thinking right off. Well, there's been a lot of things that's taken me a little while to kind of, I had to study it and I had to look at it, because I've had people tell me things over the years and I say, I don't know about that. Well, I get to studying out, and you know what? A lot of times they was right. Well, I thank the Lord they didn't hit me in the head because I didn't agree with them right off. It takes a little time, you know. So I believe that's as far as wisdom is concerned. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, like the Lord Jesus Christ was gracious. Okay, well, the Apostle Paul teaches you to be gracious and have doctrinal speech. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Now, the definition of that swallow up, if y'all remember Joab, you don't have to turn there, but the definition is in 2 Samuel 20, verse 19, where he said it's not to me to swallow up and destroy. The destruction was right there in that verse when I looked at it before I came. So that swallow up, it's just another way of saying he's going to destroy himself. When you swallow up something, it's gone. All right, well, a fool, let me tell you what, a lot of these people, they get all worked up about what so-and-so's saying. You would never believe what so-and-so's saying on Facebook. You would never believe what so-and-so's saying on the news. A fool, he'll destroy it. You just give them a little time, and after a little while, they'll destroy their own self. You know, that's like a lot of people, they'll say, well, so-and-so's saying something bad about me, and they, most of the time, other people know that person, it's bad about running other people down. You don't have to run them down back. It's okay. Well, after a little while, a fool will destroy his own self.
Yes, you will.
So that's what you say. If you'll have gracious words and have doctrinal speech, you just keep talking right and giving the truth out, and the fool will end up destroying his own self. That keeps the worry off of us. Because what if we felt like we had to handle things our own way and manipulate a situation? Guess what's going to happen? If you try to manipulate the situation like you think, I'm going to fix this, watch what the very next thing that comes about. In verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. He's saying, see, he's going to start off saying foolish things.
Yeah.
All right, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness.
Okay.
Now, mischievous. What's that? Look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Mischievous madness. We have to really be careful about our tongue. There's a lot of things in the Bible about the tongue. Why? Because the very first thing, the very first sin in the Bible has to do with the mouth. You get over there, I mean, what other books written like the Bible? Starts off with over there, and here's Eve. She sins by placing a piece of fruit that she wasn't supposed to in the mouth, and what's going on? A conversation between her and the devil. And guess what? We was talking about that serpent earlier. What's that serpent called? A serpent. Here's the devil called a serpent, and it's telling you about the serpent over there without enchantment, and it's like a babbler. It's showing you, if you don't want to be like the devil, don't do these things. Okay, so if you say, well, so-and-so's been doing this, so-and-so's been doing that, and I'm going to start running my mouth too, then it's mischievous madness. Psalm 38, verse 12. It says, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. You see what that's connected to? Mischievous things. Hurting people. Seeking to hurt people. Imagining, how can I get back at this person? How can I get this person? You know what'll happen? It can happen to anybody.
That's right, brother.
If you're not careful and you don't let the Lord tame that tongue,
that's right,
before long, you'll be just like the fool that swallows up your own self, because you'll be talking that mischievous madness. And what happens is, before long, you try to figure out, well, if I said this to so-and-so, get them where they didn't like them. And then they didn't like, and then I get, they done got me some enemies, I'll get them some enemies. Before long, you'll destroy your own self. Why? Because before long, you know better than they are. You say, well, I can't believe they talk about me. And here you go. You go talk about them, do the same thing, doing the same thing they were doing. That's dangerous. That's common everyday life right there in your Bible. It's amazing. Why? Because that's what the Antichrist does. You say, how do you know? That stuff right there is leading to what's going to be going on at the end of time, at the end of this world. How do you know? Absalom is a type of the Antichrist over in the Bible. And he's David's son. And you know what he's doing? He's standing up there in the gate and he's going, well, only if I were king. Only if I were judge. I'd handle this matter a better way. So he's lying. You know what he's doing? He's starting to cast doubt on David, see? And that's what happens. People, to make themselves look better, they'll start running other people down. And you know what ends up happening? They end up destroying themselves. Why? Because they get the reputation. Every time you're around them, they always talk bad about somebody. Man, that's the last thing a Christian needs. We need to be known for either talking good about the Lord, talking good, and not running other people down. Man, don't do that. Okay, so now it says this. In verse number 14, it keeps on, it's comparing a fool with a wise man, and it has to do with their words. You have to be careful about one, because what's in the heart, will come out of the mouth. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. A fool also is full of words. Now, why I always like this verse right here. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? You don't know what's going to be, and you don't know what's going to be after. So who can tell him? Look, you can't tell that guy nothing. I know people there's a few of them, y'all know them. So, but I know this right here. You can't tell them nothing. He says a man cannot tell what shall be. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. That's why you don't boast yourself. Or what's going to be after him. I don't know what's going to be. You know, a lot of these people, in 10 years from now, so-and-so. And this is going to go on. And you're not going to believe what's going on with this climate change. And then it's going to be 3 degrees in this minute. And all this, you don't know what's going to happen in the next several years.
That's right. That's
up to God. Some kind of cataclysmic thing could happen and completely restructure the whole deal. That's guessing. Is what that is. Why? You know what people are doing? Just babbling about this and babbling about that. And none of us are going to know what's going to go on 50 years from now.
Right.
They're guessing what they're doing. So you know what? Whenever you go to tell them, okay, well, guess what? I read a book before, and I've read things that's happened over here in the 1600s, and I've read things that's happened. They've had 200 years of heat over here, and they had 200 years where it was cooler for a whole people's lifespan, and that thing's fluctuated here there. And you go tell them, it's not. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen. I may not be here 10 years from now.
That's right.
So you can't tell us how fool. You can't tell them. You know what they like to do? They like to argue. So you know what I'm going to do? If we can look at the facts and say, let's look at the facts right here. Okay, well, facts are facts. I'll keep my mouth shut. But if you got some of these people who like to argue about all this, I'm not gonna waste my time arguing with somebody who don't. The Bible tells you that they don't know what's going to be.
That's right.
Why? You got to understand the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And guess who's going to know what's really going to happen to the earth 50 years from now? God does. Man doesn't know. You think I'm going to take advice from people who think that the earth has been here for millions and millions and millions of years and evolved down through there? I'm not going to listen to you very far. Why? Because if you don't believe the Bible, first off, you've got a complete missing piece to your puzzle. So they think, well, I can't believe you wouldn't listen to so-and-so's. If you don't believe the Bible, that's like people about dinosaurs and all this type of stuff. If they don't believe the Bible, they got a missing puzzle piece. They don't know how they come about and all that type of stuff. When I've got a Bible, I can read Genesis 6 and I know the whole thing. Now y'all are going, what does he believe about dinosaurs? We'll have to go over there. But I'm just telling you, we've got a Bible, so we know.
That's right,
bro. Well, y'all, that's like you go and read about Noah and all this type of stuff and how before that flood of Noah, the whole way everything was set up, the whole way rain, before Noah and everything, they didn't even know it was evaporation. It used to come up from below the ground.
That's right.
So they had a whole different setup, and they said, oh, I can't believe you don't believe all this, what to say over here to science. If they don't believe the Bible, they don't know. That's like carbon dating. We date this thing back so-and-so. You can't calibrate anything back what you can prove from written records. You can't calibrate anything past 6,000 years. And they go to telling me all this. You know, I read these, but I just laugh. I say, man, they can't prove anything but past 6,000 years. So all this stuff's just guesswork, and then they get mad at us because we know they're guessing. You know what that is? Right there in that verse. Foolish.
Something on how they grow dates over in the Middle East the other day.
Yeah.
And they said, they have been growing dates in the Middle East for about 6,000 years. I told them, they show out.
There you go. That's exactly right.
That's right.
We can prove it, man, with the Bible. But you know, the thing that we're seeing here with these fools, we're seeing how what we're seeing today is no different what they dealt with then. There's nothing new under the sun. So the best thing to do is don't let that stuff bother you. It all boils back down to this. Solomon knew it then, and they had these very same things going. So once you see it in the Bible and say, well, he dealt with it then, I'm not gonna let it bother me. Let me show you this other thing. He says this, verse 15, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Man, I tell you something, man, isn't that just every day? Here's a fool who don't even know how to get to the city, and he's trying to tell you how to get somewhere. He don't know how to go there, and he'll wear you out.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You go down here, and you make a left, go down there about a mile, make a right, go down there just a little bit further, get in the gas station, stop and ask somebody. That's all they know. Well, you know what? It'll wear you out. You know what? Working with a fool will wear you out. Why? Because they won't listen. And you know what happens? I've just like y'all have worked with some fools. They make out like they know what they're doing. And then you get to working with them a little bit, and you say, man, I got to redo that. Well, see, they won't ask you because they think they know everything. Oh, man, you get over here and you're, what has he done? What has he been doing this whole hour? You see where I'm going here. But he didn't want to ask you. So he made out like he knew. So he went over here and done the thing. Had half done it. Now you've got to go back and redo it.
Right.
That's a fool. You know what we need to get to where we just ask. Now here's how we wear other people out. Spiritually speaking, instead of going to the Bible and seeing what the Bible says, we try to make out like we know what to do and all this type of stuff. And we can say, hey, the Bible says this is what we need to do in this situation. And I don't really understand this. Give me some time. Let me pray about it. Let me go check the Bible. And then we'll figure this thing out. But instead, oftentimes, in the spiritual realm, churches, we act like fools. That's what's going on. That's why so much foolish stuff's going on with churches. People are just in a man-made way. They're saying, hey, I know how we can get people to come to church. man, we'll get us a rock band, and we'll have us a big old entertain. And man, it'll be entertaining, and people will come. Well, yeah, people come, but if the Lord's not there, what good is it? So you know what's happening? Wearing everybody out, and people, they leave the church, and they don't know any more Bible. You know what? They wore out during the week. What's that? Working with a fool. In the Lord's work with a fool, and you know what's that? They're wore slap out. Now you know what we get? We get refreshing being around other people that love the Lord. Why? Because the conversation, you're not hearing people running other people down. So that's not wearing you out spiritually. You actually get around other people who are in the Lord's work, doing it the Lord's way, and then you get refreshed. Well, man, ain't that a blessing? Well, you get around some people, and man, they don't hear nothing about the Bible. They don't hear nothing about praying. That's just too simple. Let's get there. And you know what happens? Whenever they get out in the world, then whenever things happen, man, what does the Bible say? We got to get some. Well, then they wear their own self out. Why? They could have been studying praying beforehand, and they wouldn't be so tired when the situation come up. If the fool had been listening to his boss and watching what the other fellow was doing, when it come time to do the work, he wouldn't have to wear himself out, and he wouldn't wear everybody else out. Why? Because they had to come behind you and redo it. You know, the same principle applies in the spiritual realm too. You run around a whole bunch of people, and they go out and they get the gospel out, and they say, all you got to do is accept Jesus in your heart. That's not the gospel.
That's right.
They say, well, all you got to do is just, you know, turn, give your heart to the Lord. That's not the gospel. All you got to do is just start doing really good. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures for your sins. He shed his blood as payment for your sin on the cross. And all you have to do is trust that. And if we don't get to where we can put the gospel down plain and simple, you know what's happening? You got all these people who think they're saved, and they can't even tell you what the gospel is. That's a sad, sad thing, man. And here's another thing. There's all kind of people out there that saved, and somebody tries to talk them out of their salvation. They're like, well, I can't believe what you did last week. Yeah, I know, I hate it, and man, I'm ashamed of it and everything else, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, but at least I'm saved. Are you sure you're saved? I trust the gospel, I'm saved. See, then you got all that going on. Now, once you take the Bible and say, look, this is what the Bible says, then it alleviates so much confusion. Instead of just putting our man-made things in there. Now look, you say, here's the gospel.
That's right, bro.
And this is what the Bible says. Now, instead of you accepting Christ, if you will trust what Christ did for you on the cross for your sin, He will accept you. How do you know that's the right way to explain it? Because the Bible says you are accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
Christ will accept you if you trust His payment on the cross for your sin.
That's right.
So we've got this thing now. It's almost like the Lord's over here with His hat in His hands. And just, if all you just do is, you know, that's not the God of the Bible. Do you realize what it took for the Lord Jesus Christ to step out of glory, take on human flesh, and have the sin of the whole world placed on Him on Calvary? That's not a wimp.
That's right.
I thank God that God has accepted me.
Amen.
Because I trusted His payment on the cross. And when you present people, this is Jesus Christ, God, Him, the great I Am.
That's right.
Came and died for you.
That's right.
And He will accept you. Can you believe? Whenever you think about it like that, say, I might accept Jesus, you know, accept Him, you know. He will accept you. It completely changes your perspective. The fact that God Almighty accepted me. Why?
Right.
Because of Jesus Christ. He gets all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory.
Amen.
See, man tries to present it where man gets a little bit of glory. No, you don't.
No.
Man does not deserve 1 ounce of the glory of God. The Bible says he gets all the preeminence. Then it completely switches everything. And man, then you're skipping because you're thinking, I've been accepted by God. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And then you realize it takes all the pressure off us. Why? I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no pressure to perform. Why? Because if I had a bad day, and when I say that stuff, I say that because I live in this world and I know I do some dumb stuff. I wish I could tell y'all I lived a good, every day was just wonderful. But man, if nothing else, I have to deal with my thoughts. So you know what? At the end of the day, I'll say, Lord, thank you for Calvary.
Amen.
Thank you for forgiveness.
That's right.
In Christ. Thank you for the shed blood.
That's right.
Why? Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't make it. I'd stay out. My dog would go in. Now you're seeing this. It don't wear you out when you had the Bible right. Why? Because you're not living like a fool.
Right.
A fool will wear you out. Now, get over here and it says, man, I like this. Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. Now, why does he say, O land, right there? He's smart.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 20.
Yeah.
Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Now, why is he saying, O land? He's heeding to his own preaching right there. He's not cursing the king. He said, woe unto the old land, because he's about to say something bad about the king. The king's a child. What's a child doing? They're eating in the morning. Now, what? Let's see what he means by that. Let's look at the child part first. Look at a few books over, Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah 3, part of the judgment of God under Israel's program is to give them a certain type of ruler. Isaiah chapter 3 in verse number 4. It says, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Now what's a child do? Children, you know, they're known for being selfish. Not all children, but I'm just saying children have a way of saying, look at me, look at me. I'm doing this. Me, 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 I, and my. That's what the devil said. I will. He developed a child mindset. I will be exalted. I will exalt myself. But that's a child mindset. Now, why did he say, and thy princes eat in the morning? Okay, now turn to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. See, the thing is about sin. Is you have to be real careful and analyze things. There's nothing wrong with being a child. It's a sin in not growing up. There's nothing wrong with eating, but you're not supposed to eat when you should be working, or you should be ruling, or you should be doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's like Bible study. There's a good thing to study your Bible. But if you're studying your Bible when you're supposed to be providing for your family, it's a sin.
That's right.
You see, people make excuses all the time for doing things. They use spirituality to cover up their sinfulness. That's like a lot of these people, they make out like they pray all the time. I don't believe that. I know some of these, I know preachers who talk about, well, yeah, you know, we got up, man, I prayed for 2 hours. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I believe that there have been men that done that. But you're not going to tell me, either you're not working or there's a lie going, you're not going to tell me you worked a 12-hour day and you came in and helped with your family like you say you did, and then you helped clean up the dishes or do whatever, because you should help your wife instead of getting there, you lazy rascal, and sitting down and watching TV when you're supposed to be helping, see, and do all that stuff, and then make out like you went there in 2 hours and prayed after all this stuff. I don't believe that. You know what? That's why the Bible gives you the leeway praying always. I know if I can spend 15 or 20 minutes praying, that's good. But other than that, I can pray in my truck. I can pray at work. Because God knows, He knows that we've got all this stuff going on.
Right.
So we cover up. Okay, here's princes, Isaiah 5, chapter number 11. chapter 5, verse number 11 says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Sound like they should have had on the shield of faith so them fire to quench the fiery darts. They got inflamed. Okay. What he's saying is, when they get up in the morning, instead of doing what they're supposed to do, they're getting up to get drunk first thing in the morning when they're supposed to be ruling. You know what they're doing? They're using their power for the wrong reasons. You know what's wrong with a lot of our rulers today? They're using their power for themselves, and they rise up early in the morning, and instead of doing right, they're trying to figure out how can they please themselves.
Right.
Well, he's saying that's wrong. Okay, well, guess what? We got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Bible tells you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What are you using the power for? See, it's easy to talk about how these kings and stuff like that, and then we got Christians that all the power of this holy Bible is right here, and we got this is the Bible tells you how powerful it is. It's quick and powerful, sharp and interior sword. Okay, well, how are we using the power? We rise up early in the morning and feed our face first thing, but what about feeding the soul?
That's right.
See, it's easy to run these old kings down. I'm getting here and run these old kings down, but guess what? We wake up in the morning. And are we feeding with the Word of God a few minutes? Or are we just going straight to the kitchen and saying, "I'm going to feed my physical right quick"? See, see how that flesh will trick you?
Yes, that's right.
That flesh wants the glory so bad. Oh, I'm spiritual. Okay, well, Job said he desired the Word of God more than his food, more than his necessary food. He said over there in Job 12, I believe that verse is. Well, you know what? I have to have food. But I know this right here. I know from my own safety, I better stay in this Bible. Because if I don't, I am my worst enemy. And I love to preach. I love to teach. But I know this. If my flesh could have its way, I'd get lazy and act just like a fool if it wasn't for this studying this Bible right here and preparing messages and praying with people and having things in the spiritual realm. My flesh is still just as sinful as it was the day it got saved. And the only thing that keeps it at bay is serving God and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what you have to keep on your mind. Now, I know that we it's 7:30, but... We'll stop right there because we're going. But I'm going to read verse 17 just for a second. It says, "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." Man, that's what we need to eat, for strength of the Word of God. And right there in that text, here's one. I've used that verse right there. You know, you got a lot of people, so-and-so drinks, you know. Well, in that verse right there, eating too much is in the same context as drunkenness. So you can show them that and say, okay, now run them down if you want to, but watch you overeating too. See, the issue is, God has got a verse in there for every single person, every single one of us that think we're a little bit better than the other one. And I'm going to tell you something. All of the ground is completely level right there. That's why the Bible says all have sinned. And people say, well, so-and-so has sinned more than me, and so I never committed murder. But it goes on to say, and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
So just because you think you hadn't sinned as big as somebody else, all of us have come short of God's glory.
That's right.
As soon as you think you can outshine a star, the heavens declare the glory of God, you might be doing something. I can tell you something. At dark, at nighttime, unless there's a light on somewhere, you can't see none of us.
That's exactly right.
See, the Lord has a way of keeping us humble, don't it? And thank God He does, man. We need it. Brother Paul, if you would, close us out. Yes, sir.
Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord.